Praise God. Well, are you ready for the Word this morning? You guys ready for the Word this morning? Say, I'm ready for the Word. Hallelujah. Well, with that thought in mind, open up to Proverbs chapter 4. One of my most favorite places in the Bible. That and Psalms 139. And then Proverbs chapter 4. How many of you read Proverbs occasionally? Well, if you're reading Proverbs occasionally, shame on you. You should read it every day and not occasionally. Praise God. I enjoy Proverbs because it speaks so many things to me when I begin to read them. And they speak them directly to me. And that's what I like the Word of God to do, is speak to me directly. How about you? Amen and amen. Dear Heavenly Father, now as we approach your word, the throne of your word, Father, that is our bread. That's what we daily are to eat of. Father, to make us the success that we're supposed to be. Father, it causes us to change. It causes us to develop the new heart that you have given us. It causes us to rise up above the things of this world. It causes us to be victors and not defeated. It causes us to be able to have what we say. It causes us to be able to move and have our being in you. It causes us, Father, to allow you to flow through our hearts to get the kingdom of God accomplished. It allows us to be the witness that you intend for us to be. And Father, we thank you that the devil does not have power over our life, that you have given us a new life. The life that you have given us is in our hand, and it's backed by your kingdom, and it's backed by your person, and we receive it and we believe it. Hallelujah. Father, causes us to know it, causes us to understand. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen. Woohoo, amen and amen. Praise God. So we've been talking about the heart. And you know, when we talk about the subject of the heart, that is a very important subject, because your whole person that you are in Christ centers around the issue of your heart. Period, over and out. You can't make it any more simpler than that. Your walk with God has a whole lot to do with your heart. Now, we brought out several things about the heart, but before we get into the five things that I've put it down to by Scripture, the thing that I want to get across to you clearly out of Proverbs chapter 4, and I go over this particular Proverbs occasionally when I find that I've kind of slipped from my steadfastness and begin to read it again. How many of you have your favorite places that you go and you reread them and you recalibrate your walk with them? Yes, amen. That's a good thing to do. A very good thing. But notice verse 18 of Proverbs chapter 4. He says, but the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble, because they walk in darkness. Hallelujah. When you walk in darkness, you're going to stumble. But notice he says the path of the what? The path of the just is like the shining sun. Actually, the word for sun is light. That shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. But when I got to meditating on that verse alone, that calibrates me. Am I walking in more darkness now? Or am I walking in more light than I did yesterday? Than I did a month ago? Or a year ago? Am I walking in more light? Do I have more understanding? Or am I just barely getting along from day to day? And am I just hoping that God returns to help me escape what I'm presently in? And people, I don't know whether you realize or not, we're in some troublesome times, dangerous times. And so it helps to have an understanding of what it means to be led by the Spirit of God. Thank God I understand what the walk is, but being led, I like that. And that's more of a personal thing between you and the Father. But he says the more the just is on that path, it gets clearer and clearer how he should walk. That's right. I've known many believers who seem to continually stumble all the time. Never get any victory. I mean, when they open their mouths, they've had the enemy come at them again. The devil's making them do things that people are tripping them up. And, you know, and their path is so full of traps and letdowns and hopes dashed against the rocks and they're constantly stumbling and getting up. Well, people, I'm going to tell you something right. You need to get a revelation of what follows this scripture. It talks about us putting a guard over our heart because it's our heart that communicates with God. It's our heart that communicates with ourselves. It's our heart that communicates with the adversary. That's right. Your heart is you. It is your person. It is what you are. And we can't get away from that. A lot of people like to just stomp that out. But one time when I was reading this passage, it dawned on me that I'm to put a guard over my heart. I'm not supposed to put a guard over me from people. I'm not supposed to put a guard over me for somebody who has a potential to deceive me. If I put a guard over my heart, people won't be able to deceive me. If I put a guard over my heart, I will not be tripped up. If I put a guard over my heart, I will be led by the Spirit of God. Because my heart is what God communicates with us. I want to let you in on a little secret that I'd learned here just 2 or 3 days ago. I got up and I went to my front yard and I knew I had to clean it up. It was a disaster. Because we had trees and branches all over my yard. And I was mad at nature. Because I knew I had a lot of work there. And I get out there and I said, you know, God, I'd sure like to know how you thought about all this that happened to me. And God says, well, how do you think that I evaluate anything? And I says, well, I think you evaluate everything according to what happens. He says, yeah, but how do I evaluate it? What is my heart? If you know my heart, then how is my heart evaluated or processed? Because remember we talked about the term heart means how you process everything in you as a being, within or without, everything. That is you. That's your heart. And I says, well, Lord, I don't know how to answer that. And he says, what am I? And I says, well, the simplest thing that I could come up with is the fact that you're love. He says, correct. So everything that I process, no matter what the situation, no matter what the person is, he says, I always process it through love. I can see that really excited all of you. You know why it doesn't excite you? Because you don't really understand what it means to be loved by God. And so when God, in his heart, he wants to evaluate and process anything about you and your life, it will always be through what he is, love. You know what that means? It means you stand a chance. He always processes love. And you know what he told me? He said, I wish my people would get a revelation to do the same thing. They come up with evaluating things weird. God processes everything by his love. That's why, people, you and I stand a good chance in judgment. Because it'll come through his love. He's incapable of rendering the wrong type of judgment over anybody. Because he evaluates it through the concept of love. You know what that means? It means he's stuck with you. Because his love never gives up on anybody. Now notice what he says here. The wicked, they stumble because they don't even know what makes them stumble. My son, Give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings and do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you, and let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left, and remove your foot from evil. You know, I thought it was very interesting. At the first half of that, when it said put a guard over your mouth, the second half he told you what action to take that will help assist you in putting a guard over your heart. Now, a lot of people do not think that it's necessary to put a guard over their heart. You want to know why? Because too many people are being conformed by the issues of life that is determining where their heart's going to go. And when that happens to you, you're too much vulnerability, and there's just too much area there for fear and distrust and getting out of the presence of God and not trusting in Him. When you allow your heart to be formed by this world. People always say, oh, so-and-so is now doing this or so-and-so is doing that. What does it matter? I belong to a kingdom that's unshakable. All I have to do is follow my kingdom and I'll come out on top. Hallelujah. But he says, first of all, my son, give attention to my words. You know, the writer put a little note about give attention to my words. Me being a hunter, I know a little bit about the animal kingdom because I've discovered they're very hard to get. Jerry and I were out elk hunting with Tim, my son, and we were all out in the woods there. And I just want to, Bob Shamney will probably agree with me on this one. You know, elk are not stupid. Matter of fact, they have the Elk Gazette that tells them every year when hunting season is and how to stay out of our sight. And so when he says here, my son, give attention to my words, one of the commentators said, this means to listen, to pay attention, to sharpen your ears like an alert animal. In other words, how you hear something will determine whether or not it will cost you your life. Because it's referring to giving attention to that which is reference to life or death. And see, a lot of us, we don't listen to things pertaining to life and death. But this word here does say that. Pay attention. It could be life or death to you. Pay attention. And then he goes on to say, incline your ear to my saying. You know what he means? Incline your ear. This word literally means to really look for every opportunity to hear it. That would just be like an elk out in the wilderness when it's hunting season and we're tramping through the woods. He's going to pay attention and he is going to be very alerted to every sound because it could be life or death to him. You see. And that's what this is referring to because it's dealing with the issues of your heart. And so he's saying here, you have to first of all give attention to my words and incline your ear to my saying. In other words, stretch or spread yourself for every opportunity to hear it. Whether it's in a seminar, whether it's in a service, or whether it's going someplace to hear a particular message, Pay attention to it. Listen to what they say. In other words, give every opportunity for you to hear it. Nowadays, it's a proven fact. Most believers are having a hard time going to one service a week rather than three times a week. Because not that everybody's losing interest on spreading themselves. Well, all I'll hear is hear the same thing again. Yeah, you might hear something you might need that week, even though you've heard it before. And so he goes on to say, and this one is very interesting, do not let them depart from your eyes. You know what this means? To turn aside at every opportunity to lose interest in. In other words, keep focused for that attention and that opportunity to hear it. And don't allow yourself to be turned aside at every opportunity not to hear it. Because it could kill you. Then he goes on to say, keep them in the midst of your heart. I thought this was a very interesting subject because when I was looking up some of the word meanings in this particular verse, it shocked me what they were saying. First of all, the word keep. And this is what the word does to you. It keeps you. The word keep, another word would be best used, guard. It guards you. You know the word of God guards you? It is your weapon. How many of you know that? How many of you would like to go to war with no weapon? No, you got to go to war with a weapon. Because that's what you're going to guard yourself with. Then he goes on to say, them in the midst of your heart. Now, this is a real interesting word. Because this word midst here, I thought it meant in the center of your heart. But this word means to sever your heart. It literally means to dissect it. Separate your heart. What does that mean to sever or to separate? To draw a line, put a line through it. And it finally dawned on me, I remember Jesus saying it over Matthew 16. He said, if a person would learn to deny himself and take up his cross and follow me, deny himself. It's very interesting. That verse was talking about your soul, your psuche. And the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And what he was referring to is that your heart has to be able to separate what is of God and what is not of God. See, that's part of putting a guard over your heart. Otherwise, you let things just flow together that don't belong there. But when you take the Word of God begins to separate and make a distinction. What belongs to God and what belongs to you? What belongs to God and what belongs to the devil? What belongs to you and belongs to the devil? What belongs to you and what belongs to this world? No! Separate it with the Word of God. Let the Word of God be that two-edged sword to separate. Down the midst of your heart. Some people fellowship with their own self and don't even realize how stupid they become. Because they mix themselves in with the Word of God and they have the tree of the knowledge of good and evil running together what the devil intended for us to do. Hallelujah. We need to stop that. Then he goes on to say, for they are life to those who find them. This is very interesting. It's for they are life to those who find them. You know what that means? It means that the word life there means what sustains flesh. What sustains it? What sustains it? Flesh. To those who find them. Why? And health to all their flesh. Duh. And then he goes on to say, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Remember, sever? This word here, issues, means directions. It literally means, to the Hebrew meaning, geographical boundaries. It means that your heart has to have geographical boundaries. It has to have boundary lines in your life. It has to have a place where you come up to a boundary line and it says, don't trespass. It doesn't belong to you. You belong where you're at. Your heart has to have boundaries. It has to have the ability to understand that you just can't go anywhere and do anything you want without realizing you've got to put a guard over you. You know, and years ago, now it's the Villa Plaza. Years ago, it used to be a cow pasture. And where the Villa Plaza Mall is now, it used to be a forest, a swamp in there. Where little kids used to play in there. But the first time I ever went there, I noticed that there was an electrical fence around the whole property. And the electrical fence says, do not touch electricity. And I didn't understand because I was a little kid. And I went, I let go of that fence. And I said, that's dangerous. And so Bobby comes running up there and he says, come on, jump over the fence. I said, look at that sign. It says, do not touch fence electricity. Bobby said, don't worry about it. So we just figured it out for ourselves. It must be for the cattle. And it was. We found out later it was for the cattle. They put up electric. It's just a little buzzer. It's not one that'll shock you to death, but it'll get your attention. And it was to keep the cattle from wandering all over. And so I began to realize it's a good thing that they do have boundaries for the cattle. They'd be wandering all over Lakewood. And so that's what he's saying. Part of putting a guard over your heart is the fact that if it's going to be held to all your flesh, it has to have geographical boundaries. And he says, put away from you a deceitful mouth. Isn't that interesting? And put perverse lips far from you. And let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and keep all your ways and let all your ways be established, and do not turn to the right or to the left, and remove your foot from evil. Well, let's look at this. First of all, he says, if you're going to have geographical boundaries for your life, which will give direction to your life, in case some of you hadn't realized it, he says, first of all, put away from you a deceitful mouth. The word deceitful mouth is a very interesting word. It's a decisive mouth. And put perverse lips far from you. And so he says the first thing that you need to understand is you got to get control of what you say. A lot of people don't control what they say. And then the second thing he says, let your eyes look straight ahead. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about a way of self-control over you. You can see what direction to go or what direction not to go, because it complements geographical boundaries. Then he goes ahead and says, and your eyelids look right before you. I got to think, what does that mean? Well, I looked up the meaning of it. I went, oh, duh. He says, your gaze. Let your gaze be focused. In other words, pay attention to what you're looking at. And then he goes ahead and says, ponder the path of your feet. You know what he's talking about? And let all your ways be established. Firm decisions. Well, he's saying, ponder the path. Notice the path of your feet. He says, where you're going. You know, a lot of us don't pay attention where we're going. You know, there's places you might be going to. Right now, the Lord's trying to get your attention not to go down that path. Quit going down that road. You see, everything that you find about putting a guard over your heart talks about God seeing to it that you have good direction for your life. How many people have been with the Lord for quite a few years and just feel like they're spinning their wheels and they can't get anywhere? It's because of the paths you keep taking. It's about time you get firm in some of your decisions and stick to it. And then he goes on to say, and let all your ways be established, firm decisions. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Change direction. Some people, man, they're going right along. They even going down the right path. And the enemy just wants to get them off track a little bit, and they'll change directions and fall for it every time. Then he goes ahead and says, remove your foot from the nose. And now he says your foot, not a path for your feet, but your foot. You know what that means? Never adopt evil as part of your walk. Right. Never adopt evil as a part of your walk. Promiscuous grace. Stay away from that kind of teaching. It's crazy. It doesn't correct you. It doesn't give you any direction or nothing. Can't help you. Now, having said all that, we could go home. But again, I want to remind you, I picked five positive things after going through a lot of scripture, and I feel so safe with just sharing these five things with you that it's sufficient enough for how a person should process their heart. Well, first of all, in order for you to know how you should process your heart, first of all, what does it mean by a processing of your heart? It's how your heart views things. Be the best way for me to say it. And I picked five of them. Number one, your heart processes fixed beliefs. Number two, your heart processes attitudes. Number three, your heart processes expectations. And number four, your heart processes assumptions. And number five, your heart processes perception. Those are the five basic things that are sufficient to let you know how your heart processes things. I put them in those five categories because I went into scripture to find out about heart processing. And see, a lot of us don't realize how vulnerable we are by allowing ourselves to process things incorrectly. What does it mean to deny your heart? What does that mean? The word deny, our name, literally means that once you have heard and received facts concerning yourself, you don't receive them, and therefore you don't make any change. You deny them. There's some things, I'm going to tell you something, the hardest correction to take for anybody in this room, including me, the hardest correction to take is for God to correct you. Number one. You want to know why? Because how many of you can agree with me, a spirit of rejection is not cool. It's a horrible feeling. There isn't one of us in here that are conditioned for rejection. For you to reject somebody, it hurts them. For them to reject you, it hurts you. It's a horrible feeling. How many can say yes and amen to that? Amen. Who likes rejection? Oh, I do? You're a nutcase. Well, if that's the case, then how's God going to correct you? If the righteous are scarcely saved, do you know what that means in light of the text in that small epistle? He's saying if the righteous are scarcely saved. He wasn't referring to salvation there. He was referring to correction in the text. If the righteous are scarcely corrected, where will the ungodly and the unsaved be? Are you following me? So we have to learn how to take correction in our life without making it a personal rejection. We got to take it as a, can anybody give me the word? It starts with a C. How are we to be corrected by the Lord? What's it called? Is it called rejection or is it called correction? Wow, you guys are sharp. Man, you figured it out. Actually, it's called chastening. And guess what? When you're chastened of the Lord, none of us get this revelation. It's because he loves you. How many of you tried to correct your children that didn't want to be corrected? and you put them over your knee. Now I'm gonna administer a little on your butt because I love you, and your kids look at you like, what's spanking me got to do with love? They don't put it together. And so you tell them, it's because I love you. Well, if you love me, forget the spanking. But you're chastened of the Lord because He loves you. And so He wants to work in you. One brother said to me, he says, what do you mean by chastening of the Lord? And I said, exactly. He finally got it. You mean I've never been corrected by the Lord? I said, well, you said it, not me. They don't want to love me or hate me. Some just don't get it. Okay, your heart, here's what it processed. First of all, what'd they say? What'd she say? You get it. Fixed beliefs. Boy, this can get us into trouble. Some of our fixed beliefs we shouldn't have in us. We should be able to allow our thoughts to be changed in the area of fixed beliefs. This means the acceptance of something as true. It comes in a form of conviction. It is a conviction that you have. Most believers don't understand condemnation from conviction because they act and feel the same. I'm not supposed to be given to any condemnation. I wasn't condemning you. I was correcting you. They feel the same. So, we need to know that our heart is really accepting something as true that is true. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Boy, that does a number on our fixed beliefs. Number two, our attitudes. It means a disposition. I call it the posture of our character. The posture of our character. It means to respond in a particular way with conflict, especially. To respond a particular way. Most believers, when they come into conflict with another believer, they discontinue their fellowship with them. They ignore them, walk away. Your heart's wrong. You never walk away from any brother or sister. No matter how, that's why Jesus said something that shocked everybody. Pray for those that despitefully use you. Try praying for somebody you don't like. Just how much faith is going to come out of that prayer? Lord, I'm praying for those that despitefully used me. Kill them, Lord, quickly. We have to watch how we take up an attitude with anybody that we come in contact with as brothers or sisters into our life. Very important. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, in our fixed beliefs, that we're to take a weapon of God to bring down reasoning that is not proper in our heart. Number two, the attitude, a disposition. Proverbs 25:28. Turn there to Proverbs 25:28. Proverbs 25:28. I love Proverbs. 28 says, whoever has no rule over his own spirit, in the Hebrew, that's attitude, is like a city broken down without walls. You get somebody that cannot control their attitude and form them to that which is healthy, you'll find that person a complete failure with people, complete failure with their job, complete failure with their business. They will fail because they don't know how to control their attitude. They don't know how to be composed and then walk in love towards people in spite of people. And so they will never succeed with light very well. Then expectations. Oh man, this is where a lot of us have fallen on our face with people. Expectations. What do you expect to happen? Woo, this is a biggie. This is what you've got to understand, how your heart processes things. And if your expectations gets way out of line, guess what happens? If things don't go the way you expect them to go. Hello? Hey, you all here living? How many of you know what life is about? Life is about expectations. And some people can let you down. I know I wanted to walk out of the mystery because my expectations was perverse. God had to deal with my expectations. Well, how did he deal with your expectation? When I wanted out of the ministry because everybody was talking against me, God said goodbye. You either stand and change your expectations or else leave. That sure helped me. You helped me make my mind up real fast what I was going to do. So you've got to realize that you cannot get so hardened in your heart that you cannot change if the expectations that you planned didn't come to pass. Matter of fact, there's a Proverbs 24:14. Turn over to Proverbs 24:14. It's real close here. It says here, "So shall the knowledge of wisdom be to your soul, if you have found it, there is a prospect, and your hope will not be cut off." Prospect here means a latter end or the outcome of something. And notice he says, then your hope won't be cut off if it didn't come out the way you thought it should. How many of you ever went to adventure into something because you had the expectation of a grandeur at starting something or believing for something? You got into it, you got halfway through it, and you go, oh my gosh, I can't do that. And so you just stop believing and stop moving and you just cut your hope off. God puts a hope in you don't abandon. Whew. I like that. Assumptions. The tendencies to take for granted what people say or do. This is the area of offense and you and I are all victims of this one, buddy. They're every one of you in this building. I'm preaching to every one of you personally. You got hooked into this one. And anybody here bold enough to say, not me? Raise your hands. We want to look at a fool. Assumptions. Oh, I've got it together. Oh, you really do, huh? What happens if they don't keep their word with you? You'll fall apart like a cheap watch. If you don't know how to process yourself to where God can strengthen you in your assumptions with people. That was one of my failures too. Still is in some areas with myself. I catch myself every time. And you know, sometimes I get into a mood of repentance. I think God's tired of hearing it. Assumptions. This is where you get offended. How many of you can be offended? Not me. Oh, yeah. Just let me not keep my word with you. We'll find out how strong you are. Well, here's another one. Perception. To see. We believe what we think we see. We believe what we think we see. Most of us, we believe what we see. Well, you can't work for God that way. Because when you walk with God, you don't go by what you see. You have to go by what God has revealed himself to you in, and you have to believe that. So see how important it is with our heart and how to put a guard over it. Because if we don't learn how to do something with our heart, then we're not going to end up like David. Psalms 139, my favorite psalm. I love it. I read it occasionally because David gave us a key that God was consistently with him all the time, whether he was up or whether he was down, what he thought, what he didn't think. He shared how so inconsistent he was, but he said, I'm fearfully, wonderfully made. Look, if David was fearfully and wonderfully made, so are you. And he says, but I've learned something. I've even learned how to hate my enemies with a perfect hatred. I got to think, poor David, you're pretty bold. You got hatred flowing there. But his hatred for his enemies was not out of unrighteousness. It was out of righteousness. Because he said, here's the key to my success. Here's the key to how I was led by God. Lord, if there's any wicked way in me. Too many of us are trying to look for where other people are mistreating us. God wants to do something with you. So that no matter what somebody else does to you, it doesn't bother you. You're tough as nails. You won't withdraw. You'll move forward. And you'll take them with you. He said, if there's any wicked way in me, he says, Lord, reveal it to me. I'll get rid of it so I'm tougher. So is it important what you do, how you process your heart? It is important. It is important to know that your heart processes fixed beliefs. Your heart processes attitudes. Your heart processes expectation. Your heart processes assumption. Your heart processes perceptions. Your heart processes those five, I guarantee you. And if you don't think that it doesn't, then you're weird. You would go through life just like this. Hi, how are you? Hi. You believe God? I believe God. You'd be a stump. You'd be non-reactionary. Your soul has to be understood. In order for you to understand how to process your heart, you've got to know what the Lord meant. Turn over to Matthew 16. I want us to look at this. This is verse 24. Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me. How many desire to go after the Lord? How many desires do I have for the Lord? Amen. Hey, this is not by His Word. By His Word says, yes! Amen. How many desire to come after the Lord? All right. Woo. It's the right church. So. Praise God. I got a little shook up there. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. The word deny himself means to disown, to abstain, to counter, to reject, or to refuse, or to let it have its way. When I first read that, I meant, no, wait a minute. How am I supposed to reject myself? Then it dawned on me back in Proverbs 4 when it says, sever your heart. Separate what's of God in you and what is not of God in you. So there's a part in my soul that I have to reject in order to follow God. Yeah, which one of us came into the kingdom perfectly that we wouldn't have to separate anything that could possibly be in us that God doesn't like? Any fool here? There are some of you probably don't even want to be here this morning. Oh, but that's not your problem. That's God's. Come on, God, give me your best shot. Yeah, he'll give you your best shot, all right. Did you guys get something here? Yeah, yeah. We are going to deal with ourselves. Yeah. We're going to get ourselves right with God. Amen? Yeah. Not our neighbor. Not the one next to you, sitting next to you. Matter of fact, look at the person next to you. Say this with me. You're okay. It's me that needs a change. Renee, you're supposed to talk to God. God's okay. That's right. You single people, you're to be looking at God next to you. You're okay. It's me that needs a change. Amen. Amen. If we can change, God can work through us. Do you know the more change that... Oh, well, shut up. I better not say that. Anyway, stand up, everybody. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God, you know how to handle me. He knows how to handle me. How about you? Say it with me. He knows how to handle me. What you got, Mike? Yeah. Hurry up, you're on our time.
Yes, sir.
I'm just kidding. Oh, okay. I like teasing you, Mike.
This morning when, y'all can sit for a second real quick. This morning when the young lady was doing the dance, it just really, Lord just really quickened my spirit, and I just wrote this real quick about what she was doing. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And it says, blessed is he who has come afar to draw near, to draw us near. He hath taken away our doubt and fear that we may be near. Blessed is he who hears. Blessed is he who shed his tears, knowing that he alone is near. Blessed is he who got down on his knees and said, Lord, receive me. For I too believe in thee. Lord, thanks for receiving me. My spirit is free to believe in thee. For I alone give thanks and praise to thee.
Amen.
That's what that lady was, the young lady was dancing this morning. When she was doing that, that's what the Lord put into my spirit. So I just wanted to share that with the body. Amen.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, dance with the flags and everything, that's a form of worship. Tammy said it before she got up here. This is an extension of praise and worship. In the Old Testament, they did a lot of that. They had different expressions for praise. Toda, yada, so forth, so on, you know. Different ways of expressing to the Lord physically. And that has not changed. Well, you know, praise and worship isn't all that mentioned in the New Testament. Don't have to be. It was mentioned quite sufficiently in the Old. God's presence would come down in the midst of praise and worship in the Old Testament. You couldn't even stand up. Everyone was down on your knees, falling around and carrying on like a bunch of people that are possessed for God, you know. Praise God. Hallelujah. We'll stand up the last time. Praise God. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Father speaking to us this morning in prophecy and praise and worship and praise and worship of the flags, Father, and our dear sister. And Father, we thank you how you prepare a service just for us to show us your love for us. And so, Father, we even thank you for how you use Mike in giving a word, a psalm or a poem to us, Father. Father, we just thank you for all the manifestations that you have for us in a service. And this morning, Father, if there be anybody here that doesn't know you, that would like to receive you as our Savior, Father, we would welcome them into the kingdom. Father, as you bring them in, if your spirit was drawn on to them today, Father, may they respond this morning and come forward and be prayed for and ushered into the kingdom. And Father, if they've been saved, but they haven't been walking like they should, and that they would like to get back into that place of fellowship they had with you, of intimacy, we would love to pray for them. If they want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Father, we would love to pray for them. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today, we're not going to do anything to embarrass you, but if you want prayer for anything, even for physical healing, would you step out and come up, anybody? Hallelujah. Anybody? Feel free to do that. Hallelujah. Praise God. Anyone? Hallelujah. Praise God. Anyone else? Feel free to come up. Anyone? Before we close, I want to say this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Come on up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Well, I knew it couldn't be you. Anyone else? You know, God is a miracle-working God. You know that? He's a miracle-working God. He is. Sometimes we just don't know how to receive from Him. But He'll even help us in that. Praise God. Amen. Amen, Kylie. Did Kylie ring? Anyone else? Praise God. Kylie. Your back hurts. I got a word from the Lord for you. You know, the Lord told me to tell you that names cannot hurt you. I don't understand that. But the Lord told me to tell you, honey, names cannot hurt you. You belong to Him. Do you receive that? Do you receive that, darling? I don't understand it, but the Lord does. He knows what's in your heart. And He told me to tell you that sometimes when people say names, they can't hurt you. You have a right to be who you want to be. Yes, that was from the Lord. You receive it, honey. We'll pray for your back. Hallelujah. You guys ready? You ready, congregation? Let's pray for him. Then I have a little announcement I want to share with you. Hallelujah, Father. For everyone up here, Father, we're going to believe that they're going to receive. Amen. Or you wouldn't be here.
Absolutely.
Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Father. Father, grant her. Her heart. Grant her your presence. Oh, Kumaripi Aparotash. Honey, what is it that you're here for?
I just got found out that I have lupus.
Oh. Well, you know what? Jesus can take care of that. Father, right now we speak healing into her. Father, I know the doctors, they know how to diagnose things, but Father, Jesus is our physician. And Father, change this thing in her body, and lupus, you disappear in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Healing.
I have scleroderma, so it's a very similar disease.
Okay. Father, may she receive her healing right now and her strength and healing. Ooh, in Jesus' name. Congregation, be praying with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Receive in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, I pray for little Lindsay's back, and I command it to be healed. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, Coach Napa. Hallelujah. There you go, sweetheart. Hallelujah. Father, may he receive his healing now. Ooh. Giamoche. Giamoche. Iataiz. Jete kerese. Receive right now. In Jesus' name. Receive right now. Oh, Giborata. Oh, Kashenda. Hila Koshenda.
Ulari maruto jete kede motoshinete legoshinata. Oh, tish kelata. Hello toshete. Everything that I have assured you in your heart, my daughter, will come to pass. It passes our understanding, but I want you to know there are some critical things in your life that you've been standing in faith for that I want to let you know. Hold fast to your faith. You will see them begin to come to pass. Hallelujah. 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 Well, there you go. Praise God. There you go, sweetheart. The enemy cannot rule or reign. Amen. Okay, thank you. Congregation, this is my heart. We're going to have more of the moves of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm not going to be a fearful pastor, afraid somebody's going to prophesy wrong or do the wrong thing. I refuse to get into that area. I want the Holy Spirit to have His right of way. But I'm also a pastor that believes in the wisdom of God. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk with my staff, and we're going to plan a way of educating my body on how to move with the Holy Ghost. If we instruct ourselves in the presence of God, boy, I'm going to tell you something right now. God will move wonderfully. But if we don't know how to instruct ourselves in the presence of God, God as being the God of order, we won't have the move of the Holy Ghost like we'd like. How do I know this? Paul went to the Corinthian church and said, "You guys are so filthy rich when it comes to the gifts of me. You guys don't let nothing hold you back." He says, "But I want you to know there's an order to me." And so with the move of God, there has to be order. There has to be an understanding of how to relate to one another. And there ain't one of us that are perfect. Yeah. Amen. And I'm not going to shut people down just because they're not perfect. But I am going to start holding specific classes. I don't know how to set them up or anything. I'm going to hold prophetic classes, how to convey to the body what you see, things that we've learned in the past in a unique way so we can have a good, solid move of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You believe that? Yes, I do. Because we have a lot of people with a desire in their heart to be used of God in the gifts. And I'm not going to deny them that. Amen. You guys agree with me? Okay, listen up, you guys. If you know God wants to use you, you're going to be in them classes. Amen. Okay, Father, thank you for these wonderful people. And may they go and have a blessed day. And Father, I'm just going to believe the Seahawks are okay. Amen. God bless y'all.